Guys, hi, and welcome to Nip Tuck Not Giving A Fuck. This is the podcast where we celebrate being positive, aspirational women. Now, we are in London today, and we are recording with someone that I've wanted to get on the podcast for absolutely ages. So we're with Sally Hughes. She is a journalist. Would you say you're an influencer?
I don't know. And I wouldn't, but then nobody wants to be called that. Yeah. It's just so reductive, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
I'm primarily a journalist, a writer, an author, and an event host, but I also am a content creator.
And you have your own podcast as well.
And I have my own podcast yeah. and my own brand, yeah.
So Sally really is, in my eyes, like the beauty expert. So discovered you when I got bought the Pretty Iconic book.
Oh.
And honestly, girls, I've spoken previously on the podcast about that book. That book is a beauty Bible. I've yeah. shown you, haven't yeah. I? And honestly, if you want to buy a gift for someone, it's just there.
It looks lovely as well, doesn't it?
On your dressing table. And I can sit and just pick it up and read through. So do you want to explain what that book is about then?
So Pretty Iconic was my second book. I've written four. I've contributed to various other books, but under my own name, I've written four books. That was book number two. It's got a special place in my heart, that book, because really it's kind of like, as somebody who has been obsessed with beauty since I was a tiny child, it was a bit like my beauty mixtape. So what it is the beauty products that changed the world, changed how we look, changed how we look after ourselves. And I was always reading these pieces in magazines about, you know, what my mother taught me, what my mother left me. And you'd always get these women going, oh, I'm wearing my mum's Chanel jacket. And I'd be like, that is not my life. That yeah. is not my childhood. I remember Olay on the shelf. I remember yeah. my grandmother's Yardley perfume. I remember a number seven lipstick or, you know, the lip gloss I wore at school discos. And those are the things that bring back memories for me. So it's a kind of tribute to all those products.
Yeah.
So whether it's your granddad's Old Spice or Brill Cream or, you know, the perfume you wore at school or the perfume you were wearing when you had your first snog, like Body Shop White Mask yeah. or whatever.
Oh, it's, my God, oh, I remember yeah. that.
It's a look back at all of those beauty products, how they came about, when they were invented and what they've meant to culture widely.
Yeah. Honestly, guys, like have a look at that book. And I just think it's such a nice dressing table Aww. Book to have. Well,
it's a pick up, put down,
yes.
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you've just got 5 minutes, you can read a couple of chapters yeah. and then come back to it later.
And they've photographed all of the products so well in there as well. So you open it up and like you said, there's those proper like old gold products in there, like the L'Oreal hairspray, for example, the Olay.
So those pictures were taken by Jake Walters, who's a brilliant photographer, my ex-boyfriend and one of my oldest friends. Oh. And he did the most beautiful, beautiful job.
Yeah.
The kind of whole concept was gorgeous.
Yeah, it is absolutely stunning. So how did you get into beauty then? Because we know we've done some research, and wasn't your first journalist job at Loaded magazine?
It was. So it kind of started before that. So basically, I only ever wanted to be a journalist from the age of four. I didn't have any other ideas. I didn't want to be anything else. I came to London. I left home really young. I was too young to get work experience on magazines. And so through a friend of a friend of a friend, I became an assistant makeup artist on music videos. I did that until I was old enough to get work experience on magazines and go back to my first love, my true love, which was writing. I did lots of work experience on magazines. I got my first paid job on Loaded as fashion writer. And while I was there, I suggested to the editor that we should have a grooming section.
Yeah.
And in those days, people just didn't really have them.
Not for men, no.
No. And he said, why? And I said, well, you're missing loads and loads of advertising here. And also, this is a magazine for working class boys, and working class boys really care about how they look. Yeah. And I just don't understand why you're not covering it. So he said, fine, go and do it. So I launched a grooming section alongside my fashion writing. And then I wrote a piece about men's fragrances that won a journalism award. And when I was at the ceremony for these awards, the editor of Marie Claire came up to me and said, I really love that piece. Would you write for us? And it just kind of And I worked for Marie Claire Health and Beauty, which was a spin-off of Marie Claire that was just about beauty. And it just kind of snowballed. And I did beauty alongside opinion columns, news stories, profiles, and so on for years and years and years. And then I was asked to do the Guardian column.
It's amazing.
13 years ago, something
wow.
like that.
Wow.
I still do other types of journalism, but yeah, I suppose that's what these days I'm known for.
Yeah. So with regards to like the magazines, because obviously we've heard Loaded's coming back, isn't it, Christina?
I think it relaunched last week.
Yeah. Magazines, I miss like picking up a magazine so much.
And not being distracted by your phone. Yeah. And because you're reading that, whereas when you're on your phone, you're distracted by all the messages and things, aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's nice just to sit and read. And
exactly. And that's like, I got that nostalgia back when I picked your book up and I just, you know, turned my bedside light on and just had a flick through it and put my phone to one side. And I really do miss the magazines because I am so into, Lauren is as well, the makeup, beauty, skincare, tips, tricks, all of those things. And I remember like Sugar magazine, then we had Glamour, Marie Claire, Vogue, all those magazines.
You used to get them from the airport. Do you remember
when you were going on holiday?
You would.
Yeah.
And I just don't do that anymore.
No, it's
I
sad.
Still subscribe to Vanity Fair, Vogue, a few Allure, a few different magazines. I write for Vogue. But I think that magazines are in an interesting place because although 3 years ago I would have been really doom and gloom about it, I think what's happening now with the written word and magazines is interesting. Firstly, I think magazines are going to end up in the same place as vinyl records, which is a really thriving industry. Mm-hmm. So last year, the year before, and the year before that, vinyl records outsold digital downloads.
Wow.
And I think we are going to go back to a place where, yes, maybe the kind of disposable magazines don't exist anymore, but holding a beautiful magazine and lying in the bath and just really getting immersed in a long read piece is definitely coming back. And the success of things like Substack in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a Substack and there is absolutely the appetite for the long written word. And so I feel more optimistic than I have in years about magazines.
Good. Because the thing is, now we are on our phones. We were just sat here before we started recording and we were saying about how I'm sitting really badly and I definitely put that down to being on my phone. And
absolutely.
Lauren and I have spoken about our frustrations with being influencers, being on the phone all the time. You can't switch off. And beauty now, I see so many reviews going viral on, for example, like TikTok, Instagram. I think it's really hard to find a genuine review sometimes. And yours definitely are. You always mark
definitely
on
they are. Yeah.
It's so like, for example, I was watching one of your videos and I really loved it. It was about that. I think it was the Living Proof dry shampoo. And
oh, I think it was probably Triple Bond Complex.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you said like, I got sent this. Yes, I got sent it free. I used it and I love it. And, you know, you've disclosed all of that very, very well.
I disclose everything always because people deserve to know everything and that's fine. I don't begrudge doing that at all. But you've got to make good choices. I've always taken the view that if you make the wrong choice, it will cost you. And so it's easy to make the right one. And the right one is don't do anything you don't genuinely like. And I say no to things all the time because I don't genuinely like them.
Yeah.
And I think there's nothing in it for you. There's nothing in it for me. And most of all, there's zip in it for the follower.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to do it. And you just have to keep being really straight with people. I think people know that you're being straight or not being straight. And you just have to absolutely disclose everything. But can I just say something about free samples?
Yes.
So I was in, because you just mentioned, you know, about me getting sent everything. And I do. I get sent literally everything and I have done for the better part of 30 years, right? I was in Superdrug about a year ago and I was buying the things I buy, razor blades, deodorant,
standard
or whatever,
wash
you know,
bag.
Toiletries,
yeah,
right? And a woman came up to me and she said, oh, I love your column. It's so nice that you come to the shop and you buy everything yourself. It's really good to see. And I said, no. I don't, but why is that important to you? And she said, well, because if you buy something, it's authentic. And I said, no, it's the opposite of true. Buying something is an act of bias. You are influenced by the marketing the packaging, yeah, the price point, the suitability for you, what appeals to you in terms of your lifestyle about that purchase. It's a biased act. I get sent literally everything, so it's a level playing field. If I had to buy everything, which of course nobody in the world can buy everything, so I would just buy the things that I think I'm going to like, that I think appeal, I'm going to be worth, yes, my money, which means I am going to write about a white woman who's 49,
yeah,
who lives in the south of England, and all these, who has what, 15 minutes a to get ready in the morning.
Demographic, yeah.
A certain demographic. Whereas in my column, I am constantly, constantly in the position where I'm writing about things that are brilliant that I would never have discovered,
yeah,
if it,
yeah,
wasn't for the fact that all beauty brands send me everything. If everyone is sending you everything, no one brand has one over on the other brand.
Yeah.
Constantly, I ignore things. Any beauty brand would say, if Sally doesn't like it, she never talks about it.
Mm.
And that's what I do. I don't work any other way. If I love it and I say I love it, I promise you I do.
Yeah.
I was going to ask on that. Have you ever been sent something? I mean, you kind of answered that by saying that you tend to ignore, but has there ever been a time where you said, I'm going to review these few products, and then you've used them and thought, I don't like it?
No, because I would never decide.
Right.
I would never decide to review something until I tried it. I have never written about anything that I haven't tried.
Yeah.
I think the only time I have written, I tend not to write negative things because just because I don't like something doesn't mean something's a shit product,
yeah,
right? I just happen not to like it. I think there's so little real estate to rave about things that I don't want to waste the space slagging something, mm-hmm, off. I think the only times I've criticized things are, I criticized a range by a skincare brand who called a range cougar because it was aimed at women my age, which I found offensive. So yeah, I wrote about that.
Yeah.
I have criticized the politics of, say, James Dyson in a review about Dyson. There are some times where I feel it's warranted, it's appropriate, or if I feel people are being ripped off or lied to, I will say something. But me just not liking a product, yeah, does not make it a worthless product. It means, yeah, I don't like it, and there's plenty I do like, so I'd rather focus on that.
I've only ever seen one almost slag off that you did, and it, I totally agreed with you when I read it. It was a certain foundation. It's not a foundation, it's a skin tint, and the pipette,
The L'Oreal, yes, you're talking about the L'Oreal tinted serum.
Yes.
Amazing product, stupid packaging, they, yeah, need to change it. And, yeah, I think I would always mention things like that.
Yeah.
I mention things like that a lot.
Yeah.
I would always point out the kind of negatives in a product if I like it overall. But if I just hate it and it's not for me, that's okay. It's just, yeah, not for me. Someone else can, yeah, talk about it.
This episode is brought to you by AG1. We've spoken about AG1 so many times on the podcast, and we absolutely love it. AG1 is integrated into my everyday morning routine. So once I've had my AG1 for the day, I really feel like I have got myself together. Don't you, Lauren?
Yeah, it makes you feel like you've done that one good thing in the day. I've done that. I've got it. I've got ahead of my health. I know what I'm doing. See, I don't take mine in the morning, actually. I still have it as a routine because I think incorporating it into your life, you don't forget it then. But I fast until sort of after lunchtime, but it's the first thing that I take so that I know that if I haven't potentially got the nutrients that I need, the vitamins, I'm still getting it, even if I've got that little break from eating.
I have to take it in the morning. Otherwise, I do not remember. The day just carries on, yeah, and on. But it does make me feel like I don't have that coffee crash. And that's why I like doing it in the morning, because then when it gets to about 11 or 12, I will have one coffee. I think in, you know, substituting that first morning coffee that I used to have with my AG1 has honestly been the best thing for me ever. And I've been taking it now for over a year.
Definitely over a year, because you got me onto it and I've been taking it for about a year. James takes it as well. I think it's just that convenient way of getting the vitamins that you need rather than thinking, I need to take this, I need to take that. It's one drink it, done. You feel like you've done your justice for the day and you feel ready. It gives you more energy. The vitamins for your hair, skin and nails are in there. Like, you're totally covered, aren't you, with what you need?
Absolutely. Now, we get asked a lot, what does AG1 taste like? Because obviously it's green, mm-hmm, and usually green juices don't tend to taste that great.
Yeah. I don't think it tastes bad. And I think you get used to the taste.
Yeah.
It tastes almost minerally, vitamin-y yes. kind of thing. It's really hard to explain. But again, it is one drink, you drink it, you're done.
Exactly. And I find the shaker really good for on the go. So when I was rushing out of the door this morning, I put my water in, my one scoop, shook it up, and I was out the door with my AG1.
Yeah, you can drink it on your way to work then as well. And it looks cute in its little shaker.
Very cute.
Yeah, you can literally drink it in your car. You know that you've got over 70 vitamins, minerals, all the other ingredients, antioxidants. It's got high quality mushrooms in it as well. Did you know that?
Yeah, they're amazing for focus and performance.
Yeah, and the immune system. We've got kids, you know what it's like. AG1's got your daily dose of vitamin C and zinc as well, so it helps to support your overall immune health. So there's just so many things in one drink.
I need all of that immunity support. So guys, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and K and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription. All you've got to do is go to drinkag1.com/niptuck.
That's drinkag1.com/niptuck. Check it out.
Right. Okay. You've lost your makeup bag.
Okay.
What are you buying first?
Okay. So the nature of my job is I'm always swapping products. It's quite hard for me to stick to things long term.
We find that hard.
But there are some things that I go through over and over and over again. So Charlotte Tilbury Hollywood Flawless Filter, I would buy immediately. I wear 2.5. I would wear that, get that immediately. I would have to immediately buy a nude lipstick and a red lipstick and two matching lip liners because I would never go out without my lips sorted. And ideally, I would always like a red with me in case I get invited to something in the evening and I'm underdressed.
Yeah.
You throw on a red.
Levels it up, doesn't
levels it? Levels it up. So I would do that. And I would probably get MAC Lady Danger for the red. And then what would I get for the nude? God, so many different ones I could choose. So many different
ones. That one's
ones.
Nice. That Thanks It's MAC is a nice nude.
Is a great nude, and Sea Sheer. There are lots of nudes I could wear. Velvet Teddy's another good one. Mm. Lots of great ones. And then a Subculture lip liner.
Oh, I've not had that for ages.
I've never
it's
tried.
It's really nice.
It's like a dirty pink.
I'm going
like
to order it on the train home. Yeah.
It's an amazing lip liner. I have probably been through 25 of them in my life.
We
at least.
Wear Boldly Bare.
So Boldly Bare pulls a bit red for me. Mm. It's a bit of a red nude on me. But Subculture's like a dirty pink. And I think I've easily gone through 25, if not 40 of them.
Wow. So you're a big, you like a lip.
I like a lip. I'm interested primarily in skin and lip.
Okay.
Have you ever had lip blush?
No.
I ask that because I used to do that as
a job. Oh, did you? Yeah. As a practitioner?
Honestly.
It's life-changing.
If you get it done properly and right, it is a game changer.
Tell me why.
Because you wake up, if you go for a colour that's sort of similar to your lip tone, but a little bit better, fills out the edges, you wake up and you've got the base, but you can choose a base that's really similar to your lip colour a little bit better. So you can still change the colour throughout the day, but it's there.
Yeah.
It is the best. Honestly, I don't do it anymore, but it is a game changer for me.
What slightly put me off about that, because look, I'm up for anything. Certainly haven't got a problem with the treatment. Mm. What's always put me off about that is I'm never quite keen on the colour I see when I see photographs of people with them. And I always worry that they'll be like a bit blurry around the lip line.
So you never go over the lip line.
Right.
That's why. And it depends where you go. But I just thought of it then with you saying, honestly, you should look into it, isn't it? I mean, if you get it done properly and they don't go outside your lip line, which they shouldn't, it just fades naturally, doesn't it? But have a look at it. I'll tell you some good people to go to because it's incredible.
I'm always interested in what people are doing. But you know what? And I think this is just a me thing. People say to me all the time things like, can you recommend a lipstick that lasts all day? And I'm always like, what's wrong with whacking on your lipstick halfway through the day? Like, I enjoy.
Yeah. Going to the bathroom, taking a second.
Or just even at a restaurant table. Yeah. I just like enjoy a reset.
Yeah.
I'm happy to get a concealer brush out halfway through the day and fluff out my, you know, it's fine.
Oh, I want to ask all of these tips. So, right, makeup bag. We know what lip we're doing. Eyes.
So eyes.
Because yours look gorgeous.
They look like a teddy shimp, like a brownie.
So this is a Vive I wand.
Love Vive. I notice you have the underglow. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
This is a Vive I wand in mahogany. I really like those. I would definitely, without a doubt, buy a stick. Mm. Not a powder.
I've not used it. Aren't the Victoria Beckham ones meant to be quite nice?
They're fantastic. The best ones are the Bobbi Brown ones.
Ooh. Okay.
I mean, she invented them, really. Like, so the Bobbi Brown ones, the Vive ones, Laura Mercier makes them, Victoria Beckham makes them. They're all excellent. But the thing about a stick is it's so easy. You just scribble it on, buff it out with a clean brush, and people think you've made an effort when you haven't, really.
Oh, wow.
So I would do that. I would get a stick. I would get some kind of brow gel, which would probably be Benefit.
You love the Benefit brow.
Do you know what I use? The old Zing. Do you remember the palette?
Yes,
I had to get one from eBay because the palette's changed and I'm so upset. So I had to get one and it was ridiculously expensive from eBay. But yeah,
Brand I don't really use much, but their brow products are excellent. Yeah.
Okay. And then powder wise, are we powdering or not?
I'm very pro powder.
Yeah.
People constantly say, oh, powder's so aging. It's absolutely not. It's just about finding the right powder. Now, the last thing my face would ever want is like a baking sort of powder,
a super matte, thick
powder. But a light, light reflecting powder is gorgeous. So I'm obsessed with the new Hourglass one. It's extraordinary.
I've heard that it's stunning.
So good. But if I was in answer to your question, I'm at an airport, I just have to replace everything. I would get Skin Finish Natural from MAC in Light Plus, which is one of the all-time great powders. People know them for Studio Fix.
Yeah.
But Skin Finish Natural is a mineral-baked powder and it is just matte enough. It's really light. It's an absolutely beautiful powder, but I'm a big believer in powder. I actually think shiny chin, shiny nose is quite aging. But I don't want it on my cheeks.
No. And then what are we doing with concealer wise?
I mean, gotta have a concealer. I really love the Natasha Denona concealer.
My favorite. Yeah.
I love that concealer.
It's fantastic. I only recently discovered it.
Yeah. It's amazing. I like that it's got like nice neutral shades. It's got a full coverage.
Coverage is fantastic.
It's not matte and dry.
Yeah.
I think that's a great concealer. I think I've probably used that more than any other concealer in the past year. That's fantastic. A little under eye brightener. I like the Beauty Pie one a lot. And then I would have to have cheek.
Yes.
And I would have a cream blush. So I really love the Westman Atelier ones.
We love Westman. Yeah.
So she does one called
Mimi.
And it's
a stick.
Have you tried Mimi?
No.
So Mimi you can't get in any of the Westman Atelier stockists except Westman Atelier herself.
So you have to go to the website.
You have to go to the website. It's called Mimi. And for me, it was the shade that was missing.
Yeah.
I always found them too pink, too peach. I wanted something more neutral. Mm-hmm. And she's introduced Mimi and it's a beige.
Wow.
And it's perfect. It's a perfect nude. So I would have that.
I love that brand.
Have you used that? So I've got their shade stick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a contour stick.
I don't know what to do with it.
Well, are you a contourer? Or are you a bronzer person?
I would like to try. I try to contour because it's the kind of contour colour.
You've got good cheekbones, though. I wouldn't necessarily.
It's not like an orangey colour. It's more like a shadow. So you would contour. I'm right, Anne, I say that. But I have no. You should. I'm literally dabbing it around. What do you think with that?
The thing about a contour versus a bronzer. So a bronzer is mimicking where the sun hits.
Yeah.
Well, the sun doesn't hit in the recesses.
Yeah.
Yeah, sun doesn't hit in the recesses. It hits on the bits that poke out,
where
you project, where your face projects. So your cheeks, your forehead, your chin, the bits that poke out go brown.
Ah.
But actually a contour mimics shadow, which exists in the recess.
That's why it's a great colour.
Exactly. Mm. So a contour wants to be a cold,
a bit
mousy,
grey, aren't they?
A grey, mousy brown or a grey chocolate, a bitter chocolate brown, depending on your skin tone. So it wants a chilly base because shadow has a cold base, but bronzer has a warm base.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I see people using them interchangeably, it doesn't make sense to me because one, they're pretending to be two completely different things. Shadow does not exist on your cheekbones.
And what would you apply? Apply it with?
So you kind of, with the one you're talking about, the Westman Atelier, which is a solid stick, you just draw it on in the recesses. Mm. And I prefer contour. I'm not much of a contourer, to be honest. I mainly can't be asked. But You want it basically kind of adjacent to the middle of your ear in the dent under your cheekbones. And you just want it quite near the side of your face. Don't come too far into the face. And then blend it towards down that diagonal line towards your mouth, but stop a good kind of inch before your mouth.
Well, thank you. Now I've got the product and now I know how to use it.
Mascara is the one that we've missed out.
Can I tell you about an absolutely brilliant mascara that's just made?
Yes, please.
The Elf Lash Extender, £7, so good.
Oh,
really? Well,
so all this stuff is being ordered.
So good.
I love the Maybelline mascara. I think it's fantastic. Sky High.
Sky High is very good. Yeah. Sky High is very good. There's just something about this Elf one. It doesn't smudge. It's easy to take off. It's a tubing mascara, but it's easy to take off. It's £7, so you can just nip into Superdrug, chuck it in your basket. Job's a good one. I think Elf is an excellent brand.
Yeah,
it's a really good brand.
I've got their cream blushes are absolutely stunning.
I've just ordered that.
Cream eyeshadows.
Oh, I've not had them.
They do not budge. They're really good. They look so much more expensive than they are. They're $4.99.
Do you, speaking of mascara, one of the things that gives me a bit of nostalgia is the Saint Laurent, do you remember the when I first started
and
wearing
you could buy
mascara
it on the airplane
and you'd get it with the Touche Eclat
that gives me that nostalgia of when I first started kind of wearing makeup. That was the one, and when I couldn't wait to show my friends in my makeup bag that I had it.
I think that if you want to economize somewhere,
I was just about to ask you this.
Okay.
Do we think you need to spend shitloads of money on makeup?
No, you absolutely don't. When I started my career, there was much more of a difference than there is now between high end and low end. And nowadays, the fact is something in Superdrug in 2024 is better than a luxury lipstick 15 years ago. The technology, the R&D, what we can do with products now is so broad that the quality, you actually can't get shit product anymore.
Yeah.
You actually can't. There might be something that's not right for you, but there isn't actually anything that's totally rubbish, right?
Yeah.
The standard is high across the board.
Yeah.
And a luxury product 15 years ago is about the same quality as a low-end product now, if not worse than. So you don't need to spend the money, but there's more to beauty products, I believe, and probably you, if you liked my second book. They mean more than just the performance of the product.
You're buying into the brand. It's having it on your dresser, putting it in your handbag.
Taking it out of your handbag at a restaurant table.
It sounds sad to say that, but...
not if that's what you like.
I am a sucker for a nice... like the Westman packaging is just stunning, isn't it?
It's so beautiful. I would spend... if I wanted a mix... and very often my makeup bag is a mix. But if you were going to have a mix of products, I personally would ring fence the higher spends on things like foundation.
Agree.
Foundation, primers, concealers, those sorts of things. You can, I would also say blush. I find blush.
If it's highly pigmented, yeah.
Yeah. And if you're into textures as I am, I would probably spend a bit more on the blush. But I would definitely scale back on pencils. Lip liners are really about the colour. Let's be honest.
Good budget lip liner.
NYX. They're the
NYX
best.
NYX are amazing. And the Morphe ones, actually.
I like Rimmel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Rimmel's Spice is lovely.
Rimmel's great. Bourjois great. Superdrug. Bourjois back. You can get it in Superdrug.
I love their little blushes, the scented ones.
Beautiful. But... the NYX ones have the best shades. Carefully considered shades. There's one called Natural, which is a great neutral pink. There's one called, there's a beige one, a nude beige, I think it's called, and it's like a lovely biscuity colour. The shades are spot on in the NYX lineup, and they're, I think, $4.99.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like lip liners, I've lost...
oh, yeah, you lose
or
the break.
I just lose them, or I pass it to somebody on a night out and I don't get it back, or you put it in every handbag
or
and you can't
rolls
find
off
it.
Off your train table.
It's just, all of that. I agree with that, with the spending money, not
I
on
do
that.
Think, though, that the Charlotte Tilbury ones do stay on very well.
I mean, look, they're great. I'm not taking anything away from Charlotte. The Pat McGrath ones stay on brilliantly as well.
I've not tried that. I really want to try their duo blush and bronze things. Mm-hmm. Are they gorgeous? Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous, great quality. Look, some definitely do stay on a long time and sometimes you get what you pay for. But I think by and large with a pencil, you're looking for a great colour and something that stays sharp and firm enough without being scratchy. Yes. That's what you want, isn't it?
And then you were saying before, you can save on things like the mascara, the pencil.
Mascaras, definitely mascaras. Because not because they're all the same, but because mascara is such an indispensable product to the biggest number of women that companies invest very heavily in their mascaras. So if you look at, say, a brand like L'Oreal Paris, which also owns
fabulous
Maybelline,
mascaras,
Garnier, all of those brands come under the L'Oreal umbrella, YSL, all of them are owned by the same company, Lancome. The amount of money they're spending on mascaras a year, you can really look to their lower end brands and get a really, really good quality mascara.
Right. Skin. So do you believe, Sally, that you have to have a good base before you apply your makeup? Because I have seen some TikToks which say primer is a con.
Yeah, I'm interested in your views
and,
on a primer.
And setting spray is a con. I've heard those two things.
I mean, I don't know what they mean by con. What do you
just
mean?
Just that it's pointless. Seen? That's what
that
they've said.
It isn't going to do what it says.
It doesn't work.
Okay, well, it depends. It depends on lots of factors. So primer basically is a texture product. It kind of laminates your skin. It gives a fake surface to your skin. Now, if you've got gorgeous, smooth, glowy skin, then live your best life. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you've got, say, rosacea, and you've got lots of texture in your skin that you don't particularly want, or you've got keratosis pilaris on your cheeks, you've just got texture that's not smooth. Yeah. A primer can be absolutely valuable because it puts a kind of smooth, slippery, but grippy finish on your skin, and it can be marvelous. It's also really good if your dream foundation doesn't have enough glow in it and you kind of want to put some glow underneath to poke through, like the Charlotte Tilbury Flawless Filter or something. So it's great like that. Setting sprays, I think really they get, again, depend on your skin, but also depend on the situation. I'm not someone day to day who needs setting spray, right? I don't use it day to day. However, if I've got a really long day and my makeup needs to be flawless throughout, or I'm hosting an event, or I know I'm going to be really hot and I don't want to keep adding powder, which is going to change colour in the sun and all of that, I would use the Charlotte Tilbury setting spray, which is the best
one. It's gorgeous.
It is the best one.
Yeah.
Urban Decay are also very good at
them.
We've
used that today, haven't we? That one on.
The Lisa Eldridge one is good. I would use it in that situation. Here's the problem with TikTok, though. I mean, I've got loads of problems with TikTok. The shit I read
go
on
for it.
Tell us your problems with TikTok.
Well,
no,
well there's a campaign at the moment about how SPF gives you skin cancer that I could literally do a whole show on how ridiculous, irresponsible and damaging that is. But TikTok, by its very nature, the vast majority of the content is created by young people. Mm. You tell a menopausal woman that setting spray is a con and she'll tell you to do one.
Yeah.
Because actually, if you're 18 and beautiful and gorgeous, you don't know what it's like to have hot flashes in the middle of the office.
Like we've had today.
Oh, God. You know, you don't know what other people's lives look like. And actually, if you're a gorgeous 18-year-old, most makeup is pointless, to be honest.
You don't need
just
primer.
Play.
You don't need,
But I think it's a real mistake to say things are a con just because they're not for you. What is a con? A con is something that knowingly makes false claims. Mm. That definitely does not apply to primer, and that definitely does not apply to setting spray. It applies to cellulite creams, for example. That's a false claim.
Yeah.
But those two products are good for some people, not for others, which is not the same as being dishonest.
Now, that was on our list of questions.
It was.
Have you? Because this really frustrates me, especially, you know, like marketing to women about stretch mark creams and cellulite creams. Now, I've had three kids and luckily, I don't know if it's genetics or not, but I did use a lot of oils. I was bathing and stuff, basically, and touch wood, didn't get a stretch mark. If I had got one, absolutely fine. They were to be expected. But I must say, I absolutely covered myself in oil. Do I know if that worked or not? I don't know. I wasn't willing to test it out and see. But what does frustrate us is there's a lot of Instagram adverts of certain creams that are like, use this and it'll get rid of your cellulite, your stretch marks.
I got blocked from one of them. Macy's.
Yeah, something.
Something like that. For commenting on one of theirs, and it was it was unbelievable. There's a woman.
A tummy tuck in a tube. A tummy tuck in a jar.
See, this drives me wild.
It's first of all, you're preying on often people, women who've just had children or women that are unhappy with the bodies for whatever reason, that are vulnerable and that are looking for a solution. But so you're saying that there should be a solution, that it's not normal just to have stretch marks or just to have a stomach like that. And then the number three, we will fix everything if you,
but it doesn't
make sense. And now I would look at that and think, come on, it's obvious it doesn't make sense, but clearly not to everyone.
But look, I've got two kids and postnatally, you are so at sea in terms of your self-esteem, your self-reflection on your kind of competence levels. You're sometimes lonely. You're sometimes depressed. Yeah. Anybody could convince you of anything if you're in the wrong frame of mind. And it's really easy to be in that frame of mind when you've gone through the biggest change that anybody will ever go through in their life. So I hate those things that prey on women. The reality is that lots and lots and lots of pregnant women get stretch marks from the off, regardless of what they do.
Yeah.
Some of them escape them. Some of them have none until the last 2 weeks, which was applied to me. I had absolutely nothing until the last couple of weeks. But then in my case, they completely disappeared because I'm so pale. The paler the skin, the less likely you are to see them. There are so many different factors. And I think the best thing we can do is to just normalize what is a really everyday part of pregnancy.
Because
moisturizing your skin is always a good idea.
It is always
a good idea. Yeah. Whatever's going on with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And you know, I try to put body lotions on as much as possible. I don't do it enough though. But there is not, in my opinion, a cream that can stop cellulite, is there?
Definitely not. No way. Absolutely no way. And there is certainly not a cream that can give you bigger boobs, a bigger bum, which I've also seen on TikTok. Yeah. Look, your ass and your boobs are fat, right? They're fat. Now, if a topical cream could ever in a million years create fat, don't you think we'd be smothering it on premature babies? It's absolutely ridiculous. If you could add body fat to the human body with a topical cream,
it would be in the hospitals.
Every hospital would be putting it on newborn babies, on people with eating disorders.
Absolutely.
You know, people with wasting disease. It's just ludicrous.
No, I totally agree. So, Sally, this is definitely our most asked question.
Yes.
And I would say it's very hard to answer, like what you've just said. One product is not going to suit 10 women or men, you know, everyone is totally different. And this product is the hardest product to get right.
It's so personal.
It's so personal. It's also become so expensive now.
Agreed.
So, you know, foundation is what we're going to talk about. It's the most expensive item in my makeup bag. Is it yours? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're kind of skincare-y now
as well. And it's the one that I buy the most of to try every bloody time.
Yes.
To be honest. It's the one I'm
looking for a holy grail.
Always. And then struggle because I guess it depends at different times of where your skin's at. You use different foundations. But for you, what are you loving? Top range, lower price range?
Any new ones?
What we're looking at?
So it depends what kind of finish and coverage you're looking for.
Of course.
I have to say I'm a light coverage person and I want a glowy, dewy finish. I don't want a matte finish and I don't want loads of coverage. So my favourite light coverage foundation is Dior Natural Nude.
Is that the one in the
white lid, not the navy lid. So the white lid is called Natural Nude. It is incredible. MAC Face and Body is another one, which is just an iconic product. It's in the book, actually. Mm-hmm. Light coverage, eggshell finish. Absolutely beautiful. So those would be my light coverage choices. Light to medium, I love Shiseido Revital Essence.
Love the Shiseido one.
Love that product. That's got a lovely kind of pearlescent glow. It's a light to medium coverage. It looks so natural. It's super flattering on everybody. It's pearlescent without being ghostly. A high coverage foundation, I think Estee Lauder Futurist is fantastic.
We've not heard of
It's got a really high SPF in it. It's got loads of coverage, but it still looks like skin and it doesn't feel heavy on the skin. That's a great full coverage. Medium coverage, I love Suku liquid foundation.
Never heard of that.
Fantastic. Really, really good liquid foundation. It's Japanese, so it feels light as a feather, even though it's a medium coverage. If you have very hard to color match skin, if you keep coming a cropper and not getting the right color, by far the best range of colors is Bobbi Brown's. Mm-hmm. Bobbi Brown have the right undertones. Some brands have more colors, but it's not about the quantity of colors. It's about the right colors. And Bobbi Brown has the right colors. If you are just looking for a light skin tint, I love the Lisa Eldridge skin tint. I love the Hourglass skin tint. They are both fantastic. On the high street, there is a Maybelline foundation, which I think is called Dream Glow. It's £10. It's a liquid foundation. It's very, very good indeed. Bourjois Healthy Mix is a fantastic foundation if they do your color. Their color range is a bit crap because they're French and French brands are notoriously bad.
Yeah.
But that's back in Superdrug. Healthy Mix is a fantastic foundation. The Maybelline one comes in a good, good color range. The L'Oreal Paris Tinted Serum is very, very good.
Gorgeous.
Great product, great on men as well. I agree
with the pipette.
Lots of my gay friends, male friends wear that. Oh. It looks really great on men's skin. It doesn't look too much. It looks nice and natural. Eborian, which is kind of a mid-price product.
Again, I haven't heard of that.
Eborian makes a great CC cream that looks so natural on men and women. But foundation is one of those products where I test every single one that comes through the door.
I bet you do, because I just think it's that product that we're just forever searching for the best, aren't we?
And it's the biggest piece of real estate on your face. So it's the one that's going to make or break your face.
Foundation, I think you have to wear it quite a few times before you make your mind up on it.
Does it last? Does it change colour?
Like today, been travelling all day. We've been hot. We've been cold. Da-da-da. I knew the right one to wear in that situation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You think, what am I wearing? Where am I going?
Or is it just
my skin out?
The school run and I want to go. Yeah. Not like, you know, so I think that you do have to have a few foundations.
Yeah, you do. You have a little wardrobe, don't you? And it's like perfume. Do I want to be light, casual? Am I just meeting a mate for a coffee?
Yeah.
Am I just going to school or am I going full beat, full glam? Yeah. Off I go for the next 12 hours.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Right. We're going to do some quick fire questions before we end. Is that okay with you? Perfect. Right. We'll start with the first one. Best bit of makeup advice you've received, Sally?
My grandmother always used to say when she was putting on her makeup and I was sitting there and watching her, even if we were just going to the butcher's on the bus, she would say, we should always be ready to go on an adventure.
Oh, I love that.
And so she was like, what if we bumped into someone outside the butcher's? And
they
invited us to something and we really wanted to go and we didn't feel our best. Oh, we should always be ready to go.
I love that. God, if anyone bumped into me sometimes on the school run, I'd be going nowhere. No. There'd be no adventures for me. Right. Okay. So favourite perfume?
Toss up between Healy Le Mandier, which smells of green almonds. It's stunning. I come back to it over and over again. And number 5 by Chanel, which is the longest relationship of my life, other than with my siblings. I've owned it since I was about 13, yeah.
Best foundation for under £20?
So I would say, if I can only pick one, I think I'm going to say Bourjois Healthy Mix, if you can get your shade. If not, I'm going to say the L'Oreal Tinted Serum.
Best mascara under £20?
Elf Lash Extender.
Best bronzer under £20?
If you are a Beauty Pie member, their cream bronzer is excellent. But I also, if you prefer a powder bronzer, I really like the L'Oreal Paris one. It lasts for ages and it never goes orange.
Oh, gorgeous. I've got one that you may be able to, may not be able to answer. La Mer, the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it? Hard to say.
It depends what that money's worth to you, doesn't
it? Very true.
You know, it is a beautiful cream.
Yeah.
My skin loves it. I've always got some in my travel bag. I adore it. If £250 or whatever it is now is a significant, I mean, it's always a significant cost, but if it's going to take something else away from your life, I would say no to any beauty product.
Yeah.
But if you can afford it and you don't have to make any sacrifices for it, live your best life.
You'll love it.
I'm not here to judge. Use what you want.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us today. So Sally's social handles are?
Just my name, S-A-L-I-H-U-G-H-E-S.
And we will share a link for the book and her page as well for you guys. But thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
So,
oh, we didn't do skincare. There's so much.
If you go over to Sally's,
we'll do other things.
If you go over to Sally's socials, she's got amazing reviews and everything on there.
Reviews.
Lots to learn from her. So thank you so, so much for joining us today. And we hope we've helped you girls and boys.